Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Where, buddy, I mean, I think the sports world is sitting and stopping right now and is absolutely just stunned at the way the Knicks just beat the Mavericks at Madison Square Garden. This may be the biggest game of the year in sports so far. I'm going to go back to all of 2021. That's how big a win this is.
Fight your way back to 500. That's what we're doing against a middling Mavericks team.
What do you always
Sorry,
say?
I was really just surprised. I didn't have your Butler or J.J. Abrams or Walt open the show tonight. Just going to be a cavalcade of stars.
No, my dad's on vacation, and he would open the show.
Always on vacation.
Welcome in the show. It's my son's show with his friend. And, you know, the Yankees, I don't know. They just have to. That's how my dad would start the show. Right away. Yeah. It would
He's
be just
fired.
About the Yankees.
Tyshirt would have to cut off his microphone within 8 seconds.
Oh, no. He wouldn't talk about that. He would just talk about the Yankees. Like it doesn't matter. There could be no baseball. My dad would still talk about the Yankees. Dad, they haven't played baseball in 4 years. They're still in a lockout now. It's 4 years gone. Yeah, but, you know, we get back. Judge is going to be – Dad, Aaron Judge is 39 years old now. Okay, he's going to retire. No. That's how my dad would open it.
He had a good run.
Yeah, he did.
Both your dad and – the then 39-year-old Aaron Judge, as you've done a bit of a time heist to see what the future will bring. But, yeah, the Knicks shoot, 44% from three-point range?
Yeah.
R.J. Barrett over 30 points for the second straight game. 13-22 from the field. 32-7-2. You'll take it. All starters plus 20 or more.
Oh, boy. Now, before we get to a hiring in the NFL that will just make all the sense in the world in head coaching, let me just say this, because the reason I bring up the Knicks here is the Knicks.
Because the game just ended, and it's getting ready to give way, you know, to the headliners. Yeah, they were the opening act for the Bulls.
Yeah, this is the JV game, and now the varsity game is getting ready to start. We got Brooklyn and Chicago. Exactly. The reason this game was so interesting is because now Julius Randle, who nearly had a triple-double tonight, was 17, 12, and 8. You know, he has had a very up and down last week, to say the least. Remember, he decides, hey, I like what Lindor and Javi Baez did. I'm going to give the thumbs down to the fans who were booing me. And then after the game, instead of apologizing or saying, I know, he says, no, I wanted them to shut the blank up. Oh, I don't like being booed. Oh, I like winning in New York, but when I'm not playing well, they shouldn't be able to boo me. He put out a statement a couple of days ago apologizing for it, and still he's gotten booed, and he
kind
of wanted, hoping that if I put out a statement, everybody loves me in New York because I was great last year. No, the Knicks are barely 500, Julius. It's a little bit different here.
They remember the playoffs, Julius.
So he puts out a statement thinking everything is done. Well, he gets booed, still doesn't like it, and then today at the shoot-around, he gets to answer some questions from some reporters. And this is where Julius Randle says, you know what? I think what that Bill Belichick guy does in Boston is really good, because I'm going to start answering questions like him. Take a listen.
Your Instagram post was obviously heartfelt. What led to you wanting to put that out there on Instagram?
I just felt like I need to address certain stuff that was said or whatever it was.
Were you surprised at all by the backlash?
I already addressed it.
The relationship with the fans right now, is it something that you hope to mend, or where do you want this to go right now?
I've already addressed it.
That's on the management talk you and all about it.
I've already addressed it.
It's already been addressed.
That's my guy. Yeah, you know, that's a winner's mentality.
It's already been addressed.
This guy goes to and wins Super Bowls all the time. Damn it, I'm taking up from him. Best practices, Smith. We talk about it all the time. It's why the Bears want to interview Omar Khan. Why? Because he comes from a winning organization. Same thing here. Julius Randle looking around going, who can I emulate? Who can I be? Belichick.
It's already been addressed. Your relationship with the fans is it's already been addressed. I've already addressed it. Look, here's the thing. This is the flip side. This is, you know, last year he had the charmed year, right? This is what it's like. Some cities, when things go bad, yeah, you're not quite ready. And Julius Randle is a grown ass man, and he's still sitting. No, I can't get booed by the fans because I'm playing bad. They've given you a long chance. You've played badly all year, but you're gonna get booed. No, I don't like that because all they did was cheer me last year, and I like that. I don't like the getting booed part. Oh wait, but you're not playing well in the team. It doesn't matter. I don't want they should cheer me. So they should cheer when you miss and take a bad three and go back down the floor and they get a three and it's a 6-point turnaround. They should do that. Yeah, apparently they should cheer no matter what he does. Oh boy, this is learning what the flip side is in New York for Julius Randle. But at least he has gone, as you said, to a winner and figured out a way to try to blow off questions just by saying it's already been addressed.
Oh, I love it.
It's already been
a million
addressed.
Levels. I mean,
it's already been addressed.
I mean, like, there's a certain number of Knicks fans. You could try to figure out where the pie chart and what big sliver slice of it is. You know, maybe one of those big greasy fold it in half, have the stuff drip down your chin and your shirt as you walk the streets like a bunch of dopes do. Sorry, New Yorkers. But you decide, you know, how many people in New York are going to go, I like that attitude. I like that winner's attitude and that he's telling everybody to go blank themselves. I like that. Versus the guys going, he's our guy. He's supposed to love us. I think there's more of the former than the whiny latter.
It's already been addressed. Look, whatever you have to say, it's already been addressed. It's already been addressed. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Now, it's not often where I say, listen, okay, enough about the Knicks. But the Knicks have already been addressed, right? They've already been addressed. Julius
already been addressed.
I've already addressed that.
They dominated the game. It's done.
You know, that doesn't really work in my house if my wife says, hey, you were supposed to get the car washed and then go. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot to do that. Why didn't you go do that? I've already addressed that. No, but why? I texted you and you said you were going to get the car washed. And how did you not get the car washed? I've addressed that already. I mean,
if
I don't think that
contentious over getting the car washed. That's a whole other issue.
I don't know.
Who the hell are you trying to impress other than your buddy J.J. Abrams down there?
I'm trying to go with everyday things. What am I going to say? I came up with lipstick on my collar, and she said, what's that about? I've already addressed that.
No, that's a good way to do it, too.
I've already addressed it. It's already been addressed. But I've addressed that already. Oh, my God, that would drive her crazy. But enough about the Knicks, because this story that is just a couple hours old makes too much sense, which means it probably won't work, but it absolutely should. The first round of interviews are starting to take place for head coaches in the National Football League. 6 openings. You know, there could be more, but look, I don't think the Raiders is really an opening. Today, your Chicago Bears, Mike Harmon, interviewed Mike Ditka. Your Chicago Bears interviewed former Eagles head coach Doug Peterson to be their head coach, and this move makes so much sense from so many angles.
Why, you think Nick Foles is going to go back and be the starter
win
again?
That's first thing. They're going to trade Justin Fields to get Nick Foles back.
Well, Nick Foles is in for another year.
Yeah, no.
There is a potential out, but they'd have 7.7.
They'll sign him and they'll trade away Justin Fields. Oh, you got to trade Justin Fields away. You got to leave it open for Nick Foles.
Now, listen to this, though. I did mention that. Look, if you're coming in and you're really going to take it down to the studs, everything should be on the table, so far as I'm concerned. Because did you see enough from Justin Fields to decide, you know, 100% this guy's going to be a superstar?
No.
You're going to go to Nick Foles? Well, no. Yeah, but if the big fish are out there, right, and you can go swing and cast out there hoping to pull in the big one like Quint, then maybe you go and do it. But, yeah, Doug Peterson with Nick Foles, there it is, the reunion.
Yeah, no, buddy, look, this makes so much sense for so many reasons. One, I told you, the Bears is a horrible job. Right? It's a horrible job. It ends awful for every Bears head coach. They're always fired. 8 weeks before the end of the regular season. You have to go through it. They treat coaches horribly. The weather gets really
no,
cold.
No, no, no. They get Everybody paid all the way mad. Through the season. What do you mean
no, they
get paid?
Get paid?
They get treated terribly. They get all the rest of their contracts. There's never contentiousness.
They have to go sit in front of the media and go, have you been fired today? No. Have you been fired in the last 3 seconds? No. Okay, I'm going to count to five. One, two. Have you been told
they really should
yet?
Get all those guys media training, by the
I
way.
I mean, they're all
that's a whole other thing.
They're all treated so horribly in Chicago. It just happens that way. But Doug Peterson, who A, already knows what harsh treatment is like from the time he spent in Philadelphia, the guy won the bleeping Super Bowl, okay, less than 5 years ago, and they couldn't wait. Gotta start over. Doug Peterson, gotta start over at odds with the front office. Doug Peterson won a bleeping Super Bowl less than 5 years ago, and he won it with Carson Wentz and then segueing to Nick Foles. All right? The guy is a really good offensive mind. He knows what that market is like. He has dealt with negativity like no other in Philadelphia. Chicago's going to seem like he's hanging out in Los Angeles. Hey, everything is great and wonderful and sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. He's exactly what that team needs. A guy who's been a head coach, that's been a CEO-type head coach, yet has experience on the side of the ball and great experience making sure that the offense lives up to what it should be. And he'll get the best out of Justin Fields. And going forward, he's got the cachet walking into that locker room. Look, he got pushed out of Philadelphia. There were, you know, look, anytime in Philadelphia, you're going to be at odds with the GM and the owner. It's going to happen. But for the Bears, it's not like suddenly people are going to start dropping off in your parking lot going, hey, I'm ready for my interview. Doug Peterson, you could do a lot worse. I mean, the guy checks all the boxes, and being able to withstand the rigors of every day being the Bears head coach, like I said, he's done it in Philadelphia. Like, I'm not saying, hey, he was great and he did really good when he was a coach of in Jacksonville or in Carolina, when suddenly, hey, guess what, man? You're stepping up to the varsity now. You're in Chicago. Get ready for hate every single day. We're going to breathe fire at you from the back of that media room. He knows how to handle it. There's not many guys that can do it. Peterson makes all the sense in the world for the Bears.
All the creativity in the offense that, well, Matt Nagy was trying to pretend they were going to have. Hey, we're going to have fun. Like Ben Roethlisberger, and we'll talk about him talking about having fun. That means you're emptying the playbook, right? Well, Doug Peterson, as we know, loves to do that. They also interviewed Glenn Cook for their GM position, part of the Browns organization, pro scouting, player personnel, used to be part of, ding, 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 the Packers organization as a scouting assistant. So, you know, I talked about it. There's the big five, right? You know, put them up like Bundy of the five teams when you're talking about the 49ers, the Packers, the Patriots, the Ravens and the Steelers. Those are your five teams. Like, I want someone that's tied to there. I don't necessarily want their coaches, because you see, that doesn't necessarily work. But in terms of how do you pick the groceries, there's been success. So I'm curious to see how this starts to flow as the interviews roll. But for Doug Peterson, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of change with the Bears. They've got two receivers in Kmet, the tight end, and Mooney, who both need to improve on, you know, not dropping the ball. So it's kind of a big deal for wide receivers. Allen Robinson will be gone, so it's trying to fill out the rest of the receiving core in when the reputation is receivers go to Chicago to die, and to figure out how do you fix the completion percentage, because it's not just adding another piece or two on the O-line. That's a part of it. But also the accuracy for Justin Fields has to improve markedly in year two.
The Bears could do a whole lot worse.
Oh, absolutely.
They do a whole lot worse. You know what they're going to do? They're going to wait for Harbaugh, and Harbaugh's not going to go, and then it's going to be, we're bringing back Adam Gase for an interview, and it's going to be, no, wait, wait, no, but don't worry. We're going to talk to Adam Gase. We're going to talk to Lovie Smith. Don't worry. Don't worry. We got it all set to go. Everything's going to work out just
fine.
Look
at you. You mentioned Lovie. Players love Lovie. They won. They just, you know, you only get so many years after you've been to a Super Bowl before the sand in the hourglass runs out. Right? Eventually, you've got to keep moving forward. And I saw some reports, just to throw it out there, and it's actually been in my history. You know, the, hey, rumor of Pat Fitzgerald. It's not happening, people. that ship has sailed.
Mm.
So just let that go, because this comes up every couple, like the last 3 or 4 years, there'll be the rumors like no, there's he's at Northwestern. That's it. He's not going to be the Bears coach.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Early in the third quarter, Lakers with the 67-64 lead over the Kings. LeBron has 17. Malik Monk. I'm sorry. 2021-2022 NBA MVP Malik Monk has 12. Meanwhile, for the Sacramento Kings, you got Fox with 16. Buddy Hield only has 2 points in 13 minutes, but it doesn't matter. He will trend on social media at some point late in the second half. Oh, the Lakers only had Buddy Hield. That's going to happen. So we'll keep you updated on this game throughout the night. Meanwhile, Mike Harmon's Bulls now trail the Nets just by 2 at halftime.
Bulls.
62-60. The Bulls in an NBA Eastern Conference Finals preview. Oh my God.
Yeah, but look at all that offense.
I know you love it.
The Nets shoot 50% from the field in the first half. The Bulls at 52.4. Let's get it on.
Yeah, we got a lot of hope you had the over on this one.
Yeah,
so looking ahead at this weekend in the NFL, I really could make a case where I could see all six teams winning that are the underdogs. I could see six dogs
all
winning
six
this weekend. But there's different shades of that possibility, right? Like, I could see all six teams win. So let's do this. I'll rank the teams from least likely to pull an upset to most likely.
All right, let's see if we match up.
Okay, let's see from most likely to least likely. All right, now the least likely upset, and this is going to shock you right now, the least likely upset is going to be, is the Raiders beating Cincinnati.
Wow, look at you. The least likely.
Least likely. Look, I know everybody is on the Raiders right now. They had the big emotional win on Sunday night. I get it. The Raiders are a solid team. They won 4-0. They won 4-0 to end the season. They usually find a way. They're balanced. But after that emotional win, the way they played, they're going to get a bit of a bounce, right? Cincinnati is too dynamic. Their offense is too hot. They're playing at home. They've been waiting for a game like this for a while. Joe Burrow has been terrific. Wow. The offense is great. This is a game where I can see the Bengals getting out 17-0, and the rest of the game is just we're playing out the rest of the quarters. Cincinnati's defense has raised to the level they needed to in big games over the course of the season. We've seen games where, boy, this is going to be a tough one, and suddenly you go, wow, Cincinnati's defense was really good. This looks like to be one of those games. The Raiders are good enough to win, but I could see their situations where being the Raiders can win, but as far as this one, I think this is the least likely.
Yeah, I think it's they're certainly near the bottom for me here. I mean, you look at what Josh Jacobs was able to do, the run game really coming up strong, sorry, Frostburg, and taking advantage of what was a porous defensive front in that regard for the Chargers much of the year. Derek Carr with a couple of big throws when necessary. Look, if Zay Jones could catch, sorry, I got to say it, then they would have had a couple of big plays in the offing as well that would have been completed. And we could say that with most games. But here, it was a spotlight game. So, yeah, we put the spotlight on it here. But Hunter Renfrow has been fantastic. Keeping an eye on Darren Waller during the practice week. And obviously Joe Burrow, because of the knee injury. I know he had the week off. He's a full participant thus far. I'm just curious if there's anything lingering there as to what we see, right? Or will we have to see them go to the well at some point if he's having some mobility issues?
Number five, I can see this upset happening, but it's really risky. I can see the Niners beating the Cowboys, but I'm just not in on
that
the Niners
low?
Being big enough. Yeah, because it all depends on how the game begins. Look, the Cowboys are playing at home. Their offense is so dynamic, right? When they get going, they get going. If the Niners can get out of the first quarter and into the second quarter and it's a tight game, or they have the lead, or they get out like 10-0 in this game, then I'll say they, and this is what I can see, because I could see that happening for San Francisco. I could see Dallas misfiring. I can see them not playing well, and I can see San Francisco, who's pretty solid everywhere. They're not great, but they're pretty solid everywhere. I could see them getting out, Garoppolo leading a touchdown drive, and Dallas struggling, but this game, Dallas is just too good. They could put too many points on the board, and playing at home, this is a game where it could be 14-0 before anybody even blinks. You know, Cowboys waiting for this home playoff game. The NFC is more wide open. I can see the Niners doing it, but it's really risky. I see Dallas winning this game.
See, I had the Raiders at number 5 out of 6. San Francisco, maybe because I've got them on that big laminated sheet in the Fox Sports Radio studios going to the Super Bowl. They're my number one. 3-point spread on this one. Barely a home field advantage for the, you know, this big bad Cowboys squad. Yeah, I see that defensive front giving Dak Prescott fits. And you can't stop Deebo Samuel and Elijah Mitchell. You can only hope to contain
them. Deebo! Deebo! All right, so they're 6-5-4. The fourth most likely, and again, this is going to be a shocker, New England beating Buffalo. You know, they've played twice this year. We just watched New England win that game where they threw three passes the entire night. It was embarrassing for the Bills. But the more I watched the Patriots the last few weeks, that looked like the game they peaked in. That looked like that was the peak performance of Belichick and the Patriots. We're going to win a game where we throw the ball three times. We find a way to do it. They're just too limited offensively. And the Bills are finding their offense. Their defense played great last week. It was a big get-well week against the Jets. Well, what week isn't a get-well week against the Jets? I mean, it happens that way. But for the Patriots, their last four games, they've lost 3 out of 4. The only game they've won was the rollover game against the Jaguars, and that doesn't really count because it's the Jaguars. They've struggled to score. Mac Jones has struggled. Oh, Mac Jones is better than Tom Brady. They're too limited. And if I thought they could score more points, Buffalo's offense is still going to be working at a bit of a high level. They figured things out with Devin Singletary being their lead running back now. Clearly the Patriots can do it. And if they put the Bills on their heels with a touchdown drive to open the game, suddenly things can change. But there you go. So that's my fourth most likely upset, are the Patriots over the Bills.
Yeah, this is a curiosity, right? Because weather-wise, we could be looking at maybe a little bit of a throwback to that miserable game before, but the name you said towards the end of your monologuing there in Devin Singletary is the key to this. Suddenly, they've decided to rely on him, and we talked about it all during the year, you know, as much as he was dismissed. Like, is he really getting an opportunity? Are they really trying to run the ball through him? Well, the last few weeks they have. He's got a 4-game scoring streak, and we're looking at a Saturday kickoff. Weather is zero, and then plus wind chill. So maybe you get the elements become an issue in the run game for New England with Damian Harris and Stevenson, and those guys can be a factor, but going to be an awful tall order to take down this Buffalo squad.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. All right, so now we're into the top three. These are the top three upsets I could see happening more than the rest. And I know it sounds crazy, but I can see a big way in which Pittsburgh beats Kansas City. I know it sounds insane. It's a huge point spread, and the Steelers are limited. But the one thing I can tell you is the Steelers know who they are. And they're a team that's going to hold on to the football. They're going to have 25 play drives that still result in punts. But it doesn't matter because they're going to control the football. Their defense can control the field. And if you can stop Kansas City getting off to a big start, and clearly the Steelers are good enough defensively to do that, they can keep this a slugfest, and the Steelers can eke out a win. Listen, as much as the Chiefs have solved their problems, the Chiefs are still not the team they were a year ago, and if you stop them from getting out of the gate early, and look, that's a common theme in a lot of these games, but for the Chiefs, it's really there. Slowly, the Steelers can defensively impose their will on the game, and it doesn't matter if they're not not putting points up, if they're keeping the ball away from the Chiefs and stopping them from getting into a rhythm offensively, that's all they need to do. They control the football. Oh, yeah, I could see the Steelers pulling this upset.
Kansas City bludgeoned them earlier this season, 36-10, your final. That was back in, well, late December, so not too long ago. Mahomes, 258-3 in that one. Really comes down to efficiency with Najee Harris early. Can they get him a little bit of daylight as a runner, as one of the many, many screen passes that are thrown in? What do you have, 75 receptions or something this year? At or beyond the line of scrimmage? Because Ben Roethlisberger and all his, hey, we're going to go have some fun, and we know, what are we, 20-point underdogs? Like, all of that, sell, sell, sell. They know they're playing with house money. Like, some might think that's all just a line and whatever. No, they recognize how they got in, right? You saw the video from the other night when they were watching the game live. His reaction was just a chuckle. Like, okay, I guess we still have football to play. Holy crap. So let's go. So it's one of those kind of things for the Steelers. They played their way in. You've got some explosive options. And this is one where I think whatever you put into the playbook as a maybe at some point we've got some gadgetry and creativity with our end around, wide receiver pass opportunities, certainly not anywhere near the vicinity of Ben Roethlisberger, but he's known to want to chip a guy, so he'll give you a little extra time to get a throw off. You're going to empty it. And one of those hits, and all of a sudden you got some chaos, and good luck stopping Watt right now.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. All right, so now to the number two and number one. Number two, I'm just going to say, because I'm going to have more on this later on in the week as we break this down, but I really like the Eagles. I think the Eagles can win this game. I'm telling you, man, Tampa Bay is not the same team as they were a year ago. They're not going into the playoffs the same part. Philadelphia can control the football. Jalen Hurts can cause a lot of problems. Tampa Bay's got issues, man. They got issues at wide receiver. They got issues at running back. I don't know how easy it's going to be for Brady to just go up and down the field on them. The Eagles' defense, the run defense is really good. This may be the big shocker of the weekend. Well, look at the Eagles and Jalen, and then the Eagles left to commit to Jalen Hurts. Then left no. Boy, we don't like Jalen Hurts at all, but we got to keep him after he beat Tampa Bay. But do we really have to keep him? We can still trade him, right, if we want to. Nah, I really sneakily like the Eagles this week. I know I sound crazy, but it's not the Tampa Bay is just not the same team for me right now.
No, look, everything's on the table. It's a one game, and one win and succeed and proceed, right? And for one day, if Sirianni and company can get the run game going. Right, you've got three running backs plus Jalen Hurts that can get after it. Dallas Goedert, I've seen all the articles comparing him to a young Gronk and all of those kind of things. You know, you're just reaching for stories at this point. But for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Lavonte David and Leonard Fournette are back at practice. And Vita Vea, this one's on you, buddy. You and that, if there was ever a matchup that you come into the playoffs going, all right, this is why we just paid you a lot of money. Go to work. Eat space like Vince Wilfork did all those years, even when he was wearing those cool overalls. So, I'm going to go the other way. This was one of my least likely games. But, look, we like chaos theory. I'll put a six-team underdog parlay in for the show. We'll see what happens.
And the number one game is the least, because this game is a toss-up because of the way both teams are playing, the way both teams are dealing with injuries. Look, the Rams had to sign Eric Weddle today. I mean, the guy's 64 years old, and he's coming back to play safety this weekend, right?
But we know he'll play some reps. You know? We'll see how many snaps he gets. But, yeah, it was the shocker headline of the morning.
Yeah, I mean, look at that desperation. I mean, I remember Eric Weddle getting run over by Sean Green in the playoffs back in 2010. Look, the Cardinals dealing with injuries of their own. You know, they're getting J.J. Watt back, but no DeAndre Hopkins. This game is a toss-up. As much as, hey, I like the Rams, and boy, I felt good about them getting the NFC Championship game. Rams can win this game. Rams can go home. I mean, so if you're talking about the likelihood of upsets, the one that's most likely, yeah, because that game is not real. I mean, the Rams are favored, but that is completely a toss-up between those two teams.
Yeah, I think the reemergence of James Conner changes the complexion of things. And that what we've seen with the Rams all year, if you're willing to go and just bludgeon them, you'll beat them. because you can run on them. Going all the way back to week one in Chicago when Chicago came to SoFi, they ran the ball well. And teams have done that all season long, and you've seen them get beat up time and again. So don't get cute. Kyler Murray will have his plays. He'll have some opportunities. But James Conner has been fantastic. One of the stories of the year, particularly at a running back position that has been just such a mess. And with the thought that he would be just a, you know, part of a platoon with Chase Edmonds, but he's been fantastic. And around the goal line, forget about it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So there you go. I could see all the teams winning, but there's our list from least likely to most likely. Yeah, we'll have more on that Eagles-Bucks game coming up throughout the week. Yeah, it's exciting right there.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And it has not been pretty for Mike Harmon's Chicago Bulls. The Nets have a 30-point lead right now with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It is finally, we are getting a signature win by the Nets. This is the first, quote, good team that they've beaten all season long. I mean, really, their best win up until this point was they beat Philadelphia. Everybody else, they're 0-2 against the Bulls. They lost to Golden State, Phoenix, Memphis, Milwaukee, Miami. This is their first win. And if you want to take them serious as contenders, you're going to have to win a game like that once in a while.
They might finish with 137. 37? Shut up. That's what they're trying to do to you. Trying to say, all right, stop dogging us for not winning one of these games. It's one of 82. So here it is. Very late central starting time. We're going to win deep into the night, and we're going to blow them out in grand fashion. Patty Mills, 21 off the bench. He's plus 33 on the night. Your guy, Blake Griffin, with 9 and 5. But James Harden and Sharp and Durant, all 20-plus getting it done.
Meanwhile, the Kings are going to beat the Lakers. 125-116 is the score. There are 13 seconds left to go in this, and so many players from the Kings having big nights. They're starting five, all in double figures. They shot 55% from the floor. LeBron goes for 34, not nearly enough. He takes 12 threes, and the Lakers get boat race. And look, what did I tell you? All the good feelings, and here's Carmelo Anthony last night saying, we're like the Bucks a year ago. Wait till you see. They win a couple of games, then they go into Sacramento and get pounded by a team that's 11 games under 500. This is just who the Lakers are. They are a 500 team, and they're going to be this team the rest of the season. All right? That's just who they are. And when Anthony Davis comes back, it doesn't matter. They're still going to find a way to be 500 because that's what they were when Anthony Davis was playing. And Russell Westbrook is a guy that still they can't figure it out for him. Malik Monk has been a revelation, and still the Lakers can't win. This is just who they are. Their identity is a 500 team, and they're just hoping to squeak into the playoffs. And if nobody gets better in the West, they can be one of the top six teams, maybe the number six team. But if not, they'll be in the play-in round. This is the reality for the Lakers.
Even got the 19 points off the bench in 27 minutes from your guy they call Hillbilly Kobe. I always see Bryant Big Country Reeves, but no, I know it's Austin Reeves. 19 points for him off the bench, but really not a whole lot else. Another rough night for Russell Westbrook, 2 of 14. And people on Twitter just going, stop shooting!
Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. No one does sports like Vegas, and the excitement is endless. So make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. That's visitlasvegas.com. Fox News.com. Well, a guy who is always on, the excitement with him is endless. Fox Sports 1 NBA Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Bucher. It is Rick Bucher. Rick, the Nets finally win a game against a good team tonight.
Well, a team with a good record. I don't know that the Chicago Bulls were a good team tonight. They were a good – well, they attempted to be a one-on-one team. They got sucked into playing Brooklyn Nets style, and they're just not – that's not the kind of team they are. So I – yeah.
But overall, they're a good team. Overall, they're a good team.
No, for sure. And when they play to their strengths, then they can be a very good team. And they can certainly give the Brooklyn Nets a better better competition than they got tonight. But when they try to play, go one-on-one, the Brooklyn Nets are going to win that game. One, it makes it easier for them defensively. And two, as good as DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine are, they're not Kevin Durant or James Harden, and even Kyrie Irving chipping in a little bit. But that to me was – I just felt like the Bulls, they were trying to prove something. They were trying to prove that they are as good as the Brooklyn Nets. And regardless of record, that's something that they're still trying to prove. And they tried to prove it by playing Brooklyn Nets basketball. And the ball just got stuck way too much with one guy or the other trying to do it by themselves. And that's the Bulls just aren't good enough to play that way. And tonight demonstrated that. They might be able to get away with it against lesser teams, but not against the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I'm just going to blame it on the late 9 o'clock Central start time.
Yeah, all right,
Rick.
What's up with that?
Hey, wanted to put them in prime time. Wanted to give you guys a show, West Coast. I don't know.
Man,
I thought it was kind of curious myself.
I will say, so we've had, what, like 600 guys that have played in the NBA. We're pulling. I'm surprised they haven't called the studio and asked if anybody was available there to come in and give them 5-10 minutes.
And I'll tell you what, yet, Smith can chuck one up.
Oh, I could do that. Rick, I could give you some threes. I won't even go past a three-point line. I'm just going to chuck them up from outside.
I was seeing you as a screen setter myself, as one of those little hedgehog guys that gets underneath you and just annoys the hell out of you.
Okay.
And I mean that.
The hedgehog guy.
I mean that in the most complimentary way possible.
Wait, let me Google hedgehog and see what comes up.
No, don't do that. You're going to end up down a deep, dark path. Don't do that. All right, Rick, while he does that, let him go off on his fool's errand. The Lakers go to Sacramento, get beaten by 9. LeBron James, 34, 7-6. But Russell Westbrook, once again, the consternation, the hand-wringing. 2 of 14 from the field. And just a lot of folks shaking their heads going, stop shooting, please. Pass the ball.
Is it me, or does it feel like the Kings and the Lakers have played about 25 times this season already?
Yes.
God, it seems like every week we got a Kings-Lakers game, and unfortunately they're about on par with each other. And this is a bad Sacramento Kings team. I mean, this is they had this game in hand simply because we had very little point guard play in this game in general. Tyrese Halliburton, maybe the best point guard. I know we're focusing on the Lakers and focusing on Russ. And certainly, I mean, what Russ is doing is what Russ has always done, which is there's no sense of time and score. There's no sense of situation. They're down by 4. They've made a run back, and he shoots a 3. He's 0-for-4. Like, even if you all the confidence in the world, even if he was 3-for-4. Maybe if he was 3-for-4. But outside of just being blazing hot from three-point range, there's no reason to take that shot early in the shot clock. And I could give you a half dozen examples of decisions he made down the stretch that just don't have any sense of what's going on in the game. He's always making it up as he goes along. And I got to tell you, De'Aaron Fox, same thing. I mean, the reason that the Lakers got back into it is, and I hate to see it because De'Aaron Fox came in as a talent, and he still has a tremendous amount of talent. He has no idea how to play, and it's understandable considering the teams that he's been on and the constant coaching changes and everything else. And he looks like a guy who's kind of lost some of his spirit as well. But for the Lakers to lose to this Kings team and this kind of game where the Kings were willing to spit it up at the end, it gives you an indication of just where the Lakers are. And this is the difficulty is, you know, everybody's banging on Frank Vogel. You got to play Dwight Howard. You got to do this. You got to do that. The pieces on this team just do not fit. They're probably at their best when LeBron plays at the five. But the problem is then you're not getting anything out of Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard is one of the players that could contribute. So that's what I mean by, like, they got these different pieces, but they just, you can't make them work. You can't, they don't fit there's not a possibility of putting your five best players on the floor talent-wise or ability to contribute-wise and make it work as a team. Individually, they can give you what they can give you. But to put the five best out there doesn't necessarily work as a team, doesn't necessarily put everybody in their sweet spot. And look, there's no easy answers. I'm not saying Frank's doing a great job, but he's been dealt a hand that I don't know that there is a coach that could figure it out and have them winning on a consistent basis. And the other part is LeBron James can, at 37, can score with the best of them. But the idea that he's an MVP at this stage is laughable because he can't, he can get his, which is remarkable in itself at 37, but he can't get it for everybody else like he once could. He can't, you could give him a disparate group. You could give him a bunch of pieces that didn't fit in the past, puzzle pieces that didn't fit, and he would make it work. He'd figure it out. You figure out who you got on the roster that can play with him. His abilities at this stage are not there, and the pieces there are probably the biggest challenge that he's ever had. And that's why the Lakers are where they are.
Yeah, but Rick, but both he and Melo say they're just like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. They just need time to gel. You just need the new guys coming in. The vets need time to gel, and they're going to start winning games. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I don't know if you saw Russ. Russ was given the same thing, and he said, we're moving in the right direction. I think. I mean, you know, they're saying all the things that you're supposed to say in this situation when you have a lot of big names and you have high expectations and you're not meeting them. Well, we just, you know, we need time. We need time. You can have all the time you want, except the bottom line is you don't have time because you're all 30 somethings. I mean, this is an old team, and even when they get out of the gate and they play well, I mean, I've seen them play, like, you see glimpses, but you generally see them in the first quarter or the first half. And then whether it's the third quarter or the fourth quarter, they just can't sustain it. And that's age. That's age. That's not being able to play 48 minutes. And so there are no easy answers. I keep looking at them, and I keep looking for the, you know, what if they just get in and the game slows down? Do they have what it takes to make the most of that? Do they have what it takes to scare somebody? And there have been times where I've seen games where I've thought, okay, slow, don't have to play, you know, you're going to play every other night at the most, a couple days off. Experience is going to come through. I keep trying to find an argument for myself to believe that the Lakers are still going to matter before it's all said and done. And I'm having a hard time. I mean, I'm having to argue with myself to get there. And, you know, with games like tonight, it's more like you can't ignore the writing on the wall, which is they're just not good enough and the pieces don't fit.
Now, cycle in the usual fun and excitement of the trade deadline and the name that circles up once again, Ben Simmons, couple years left on that deal. Do they finally just come to it, or does Joel Embiid need to go in there and start banging on the door going, you're wasting years of my life?
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, Daryl Morey is going to stick to his guns from everything that I know. He's not going to take one for the team and make the best of this. he's going to hold out until he gets something that he can walk away with and say is a win. And the problem is that I don't see that happening at this point. I would be shocked if it happened at this point during the season, because if you're trading for Ben Simmons, you're not trading for him for this year. Talking about weeks of conditioning, you got to get him incorporated into your team. If you're a team of any significance, of any meaning, having a guy who's starting from scratch now and needs to get into condition and then needs to get acclimated to your team. I mean, we're talking about a 4 to 5 week process. Who wants to go through that? Who is so desperate to make a trade? Now, the Atlanta Hawks, clearly something wrong there, and I could see them feeling like a change for change's sake. The chemistry with that team just seems off. But I don't know that they have somebody there that the Philadelphia 76ers are going to look at and say, that's the guy that is going to satisfy Daryl Morey's expectation of getting an all-star caliber talent back. Because other than Trae Young, who is that definitively on that team as a go-to guy for the Philadelphia 76ers? I don't see him. And so ultimately, again, comes down to Daryl Morey sticking by his guns. That's why I think there's better chance that we're going to see a deal done around the draft or sometime during the offseason when it comes to Ben Simmons.
He's on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1 analyst. Check out his On the Ball with Rick Bucher podcast. This week, Rick, if I'm reading the notes right, it is 85 minutes on the Knicks getting back to 500, right? Is that what you have?
Yeah, you need glasses, my friend, because I'm actually technically on vacation this week. I'm supposed to be off the radar. I just couldn't resist watching the games tonight and catching up with you guys.
So, I'm honored.
Else going on. As soon as I hang up, I am back on vacation, my friend.
So this means Matt Bucher is running your social media for the next few days.
Matt Bucher is – so can I tell you, Matt, that I may have told you. Matt Bucher has a truck, and Matt Bucher has a girlfriend, and Matt Bucher was MVP of the state championship team. Matt Bucher is living his best life right now. We should all be Matt Bucher right now. I'm telling you.
That's it. I'm declaring it tomorrow, Matt Bucher Day, and I'm going a month.
He's running the world.
Hey, you know what? It almost sounded like you were going third person here the number of times you said Matt Bucher. I like that. It was very nice. Matt Bucher is living his best life. In other words, I have no idea where Matt Bucher is. Haven't spoken to him in 4 days.
Hey, we were supposed to go to Mexico on a trip and be away for a week, my wife and I. As disappointed as we were that the flight got canceled and we couldn't make it, no one was more disappointed than Matt Bucher, who's going to have the house to himself for a week.
He's now got a tracking device on the back of his truck.
No. That's where the first night of vacation, Rick checks his phone right before he goes to bed, and it's from the neighbor across the street going, "This is your house right now." And it's like 50 kids out front.
Yeah. Yep.
Rick, thanks so much as always. Enjoy the rest of vacation. We'll catch you when you get back, my friend. Have fun.
Kegger, yo.
Send me a note. Tell me where to be.